Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So as we dig out and clean up after this winter's blizzards and we slog through the slush, navigate the snowbanks, and try to resume a normal life, perhaps it's actually time for a little perspective.
It has indeed been a nasty winter. But if you want to really talk about nasty weather, take a look at history, deep history. Jeffrey Donnelly has done just that. He is a paleoclimatologist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Falmouth, and he's led a study on some of the most severe weather that has ever hit this region.
The study is published in the journal Earth's Future, and it finds that New England once faced monster hurricanes that made Hurricanes Sandy and Irene look almost wimpy.
Jeffrey Donnelly, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi.
Hi. We've got detailed records of our weather from about 150 years ago. You and your researchers, though, found evidence of storms way before that. You look back about a couple of millennia, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, starting with 150 AD. Now, I want you to tell us, Jeffrey, how you did this, because what I had heard, and maybe you can create more of a picture for us, was that you and your researchers took a couple of canoes that were connected by a slab of wood and floated out to a part of a pond in Falmouth and then dug really deep looking for sediment. Does that sound about right?
That's about right, right. So that limited record that you were just describing, you know, we have 150 years of data, and that's just not very much to say anything about hurricane climatology. The events are rare enough that, you know, the statistics just aren't very good. There's only, in New England, we've only had a couple of big storms in that entire time frame. And so this approach is one that we try to use a proxy to try to reconstruct these events back in time. And these ponds are normally very quiescent. There's not much of waves in them, and it's really mucky sediment that's being deposited in them. But what happens during these really big hurricanes is that the pond basically becomes part of the ocean. The storm surge and waves overtop the barrier, and rather than having this really mucky sediment being deposited in the marsh or the pond, you're depositing, you know, sands and gravels that are coming from the beach. And so we can take these really long cores. In this case, we took a core through the sediment. It's like putting a straw through a milkshake and putting your finger over the top and pulling the straw out, and we had this really long tube full of mud that in this case was about 30 feet long, and it went back a little over 2,000 years.
How do you know that?
Well, the dating can be done with radiocarbon, so we can basically figure out how long the organic material, the leaves and twigs and whatnot that is also preserved in the core, you know, how long it's been since they were accumulating their carbon from the atmosphere.
And was 30 feet the farthest down you could go?
Yeah, it was basically where we ran out of that soft sediment.
So what you pulled up in this case told you what?
So we were able to look at this in really excruciating detail, and it's such a really high deposition rate, so we could really look at almost annual layers of sediment being deposited in this over the last two millennium. And for the most part, you know, there are these intervals where there's not much going on, but then you would find these intervals where there are very frequent, very large sand layers that are deposited in the mud. And so by dating them very carefully and trying to figure out what's being recorded just in the last few hundred years when we actually have some written documentation, we discovered that the only time you're getting sand layers in the most recent part of the record is when we had a severe hurricane that made landfall very close to Cape Cod.
So how much, to what extent could you actually recreate what happened then? I mean, how do you know how strong these storms were, and how strong were they?
So in this most recent part of the record, we were able to date three different event beds that related to known events. And the first one was Hurricane Bob, and it's the smallest event bed in the entire record. It's just this little blip at the top, but one that we could sort of find in every core that we took there.
That was recent.
That was recent, right. Hurricane Bob was 1991, and it was a Category 2 storm, and it was sort of a run-of-the-mill hurricane for New England. It wasn't a really exceptionally severe storm. Not like others, like the 1938 hurricane, which made landfall a bit further west in Long Island and central New England. But then the other two historic storms were way back in the 17th century. And, you know, right after the Pilgrims and Puritans basically settled the region. And the only reason we know as much about these storms as we do is because they really made a direct hit on those settlements that were there at the time. And in the case of the 1635 hurricane, the eye of the storm actually passed between Plymouth and Boston because the wind direction changes that the two governors of those two colonies at the time noted are consistent with the eye of this hurricane moving between those two points. So in that case, we have even a pretty precise measure of where the track of the storm actually was.
And how bad was it?
It's probably the worst storm southeastern New England has seen in 400 years. The historic accounts are talking about 20 feet of storm surge in Buzzards Bay, hundreds of thousands of trees that were just completely ripped up, and the buildings that they had, many of the roofs were unroofed and things like that. And so all of those are consistent with sort of a strong Category 3 hurricane. Which is probably what that was.
And you found the sediment from that in this pond.
That's right.
Okay, so that was 1635. Obviously, the area was settled, but you got evidence of hurricanes even farther back.
That's right. And so the whole record goes back 2,000 years. And one of the things that really surprised us is that the rest of that record, the prehistorical part of that record, before we have any knowledge of a hurricane strikes in the region at all, is much more active than the last few hundred years in which we actually have experience on the landscape. And in particular, the first millennium AD was really active with many sand layers that were much larger than any of the ones that I was just describing in the historic period, including this 1635 hurricane event. And there's some clustering, too, and where there's intervals where you're getting one of these big sand layers every 20 years or so. And so the frequency of these really big events has changed considerably over time. And there were some times in our recent history or recent prehistory that we were actually much more vulnerable to these events than we have been historically.
Okay, there was one common factor, actually probably a couple of common factors, but one in particular that each of these incidents has in common actually with what's happening today. What is that?
Well, in these two cases, there was this first millennium that's very active, and then there's another interval between about 1400 AD and 1675 AD, so right as we're basically settling the landscape, or Europeans are settling the landscape. And in the case of that 1400 to 1675 interval, it's only the east coast of the U.S. that seems to be active, or along the eastern margin of the U.S. And the reason we know that is because we have reconstructions from all over the western North Atlantic, and it's only here in New England, North Carolina, and the Bahamas that are active in that particular interval. The earlier interval in the first millennium is one in which everybody's active. So when I go to do a similar study in the Gulf of Mexico or Florida or the Caribbean, they're all seeing lots of big event beds in that first millennium.
And one of the commonalities had to do with water temperature.
That's right. So the earliest interval is one in which the deep tropics, the deep tropical North Atlantic, was relatively warm. So you had a really warm tropical Atlantic. You're probably generating lots of hurricanes down there, and they're basically spraying all across the western margin of the Atlantic basin. The more recent active interval, where it's only the eastern seaboard that's active, the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean are very quiescent at that time, is one in which the sea surface temperatures are cooler in the deep tropics, but yet warmer right along the eastern margin or the east coast of the U.S. And so in both cases, there's a connection with warming sea surface temperatures. One is in the deep tropics when everybody gets more hurricane activity, and this other one where it's just along the eastern seaboard that's getting warm sea surface temperatures, and then it's just a localized all along the eastern seaboard that gets increased activity.
Okay, because the warmer the surface of the ocean, the more moisture in the air and storms feed off warmer ocean water. So what is the lesson here? What can we learn from these storms about how hurricane-related destruction could be prevented in the future, and even destruction from winter storms like this one?
Well, I think the first lesson, I think, is that the risk may be much greater than we've experienced in our lifetimes, right? So most people alive today may have experienced Bob. A few old-timers may still remember the 1938 hurricane or Hurricane Carol in 1954. But, you know, there are these earlier climate intervals where the climate system outside of our interference, so this is pre-industrial period when we're, you know, before the greenhouse gas emissions really started impacting climate, the climate system on its own was able to generate hurricane climate like we haven't seen in the last few hundred years. So just from that perspective, you know, outside of any sort of arguments about greenhouse gas warming and who's at fault and what we do about it, the climate system itself is apparently capable of producing climates that produce hurricanes like we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of sort of engaging in this in global warming issue, you know, clearly that's where we're headed now. The sea surface temperatures now are actually warmer than they were in these earlier intervals. We've passed the warmth of those earlier intervals just in the last couple of decades with global warming. So we're pushing the climate back in this direction where we're getting warmer sea surface temperatures, and the potential is that we could go back into one of these regimes where we're seeing many more intense hurricane strikes.
Perspective helps. Jeffrey Donnelly at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, who led the recent study on historic hurricanes. Nice to talk to you, Jeffrey. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Good to talk to you.
And for a link to the study, you can go to our website, radioboston.org.